like to speak about this thought, the prayer of a righteous man. Prayer of a righteous man. This does not mean that this is only for men. Most of you know this verse of Scripture. James chapter 5, verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now we see several things that are needed there within having a prayer life that is productive. There's several things that are mentioned, but we're going to zero in on that word righteous. The word righteous. We want to have an effectual, we could say an effective prayer life. Again, I don't see the point in praying unless we want to have an effective prayer life. I mean, there's people all week long that have ritualistic prayers, and we would look at them and say, well, that's just ritualism. There's nothing effective about that. But I would submit to you that as believers, we may not be ritualistic like some are, but it says here that we need to be righteous if we're going to have an effective prayer life. And so that's a challenge as we live in this body of flesh. The prayer of a righteous man. What is a righteous man? A righteous man is a saved man, a saved individual who has been given righteousness. Given righteousness. When you got saved, you were given the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, and I'll begin reading. It says, therefore, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be made the righteousness of God. Wow. That's a heavy thought there. So when we got saved, we were given the righteousness of the Lord. But this isn't only a righteous transaction that's taken place. In addition, the righteous man has an experiential righteousness. It's listed within verse 16. You see it there? Confess your faults and pray for one another. So it's not that we can say, well, I got saved when I was 12 years old, and so I'm righteous no matter what. Well, that's true. You are righteous. We are saved by grace, but we also have an opportunity during the day, unfortunately, to walk in the flesh. And that's going to be a problem if we have the sin of this world all over us. And well, anyway, we'll get into it. So I must be righteous. If I'm going to go to God on behalf of these missionaries, you know what a missionary needs? A missionary doesn't just need a church praying for them. A missionary needs a righteous church praying for them. You know what your lost family members need? They don't just need a family member praying for them. They need a righteous family member praying for them. You know what we need? We don't just need church members praying for that next location. We need righteous church members praying for that next meeting location. And so it's a great task, but you know what? God has given us the ability to fulfill that task. Now, there are hindrances. You know this. If you've been saved in any length of time, you know that there are things that come into our life that hinder our prayer. Let's go as far as we can tonight into this, and let's look at some hindrances tonight that we want to avoid. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, I've been thinking about this for some time because we can say, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray, but let's be righteous when we pray. Because that's what's going to have an effect. That's what's going to avail much. That's what's going to bring great victory. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. The Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with them. Wife, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, Let's think about this last phrase, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. Number one, something that we need to make sure that we do not have in our life, if we want to be righteous and we want to have an effective prayer life, is we want to eliminate a contentious home life. A contentious home life. I'm a firm believer that if there's contention in a marriage, it's not simply contention in a marriage. There's a problem here first. Every relationship problem, you know this, what I'm about to say before I say it. Every relationship problem can be traced back to a problem with God. And it's not God's problem, it's my problem. Okay? And so, I don't mean a problem with God, a problem with my relationship with God. That didn't really come out too right. If a man, I found this quote, if a man does not treat his wife kindly, his prayers become ineffective. Because a living relationship with God depends on a right relationship with others. I wonder tonight, what is our home life like? When we come to church, everything that our home life is like, if it's not right, it just kind of stays in the car or it stays at home. Hopefully it doesn't even get into the car. And we can all come in and we can all smile and, you know, we shake hands with everybody and everything's fine. But then if we're not careful, we get in the car and before we even make it home, it's just right back to, you know, round three. I don't think we're going to have a very effective prayer life if the home life is contentious. And yes, this verse that we're looking at is directly to me, because I am a husband. And it's directly to you, men. And by the way, as husbands, we are the leaders. And we do have the responsibility to lead in such a fashion that our home isn't contentious, that it's peaceful. In other words, how am I going to speak unkindly to my wife and then go to God and say, God, here I am. I need you to help me with these requests. No, that doesn't add up. So number one is a contentious home life. I need to be sensitive in the home. I need to be courteous. I need to be kind. Whatever it may be tonight in our homes, this is, again, the attack that is on the home is very strong by our enemy, but I believe it goes beyond just the home, but to the relationship that we have with our God. So this is going to be I can come to on a Wednesday night and I can pray and praise the Lord for the opportunities, but I want to make sure that I don't have this contention in the home. And if you have tonight an area in your home of contention, I would encourage you to go to God immediately and say, God, I need to be better in the home in this way. God, I need your direction in eliminating contention in the home. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at another one quickly. Matthew chapter 5. We want to be righteous before God so that we can have an effectual, fervent prayer life. This is the end result. We have a prayer page that grows weekly. Now, there's some things come off of it because we see God work, praise the Lord. But again, I need to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing before I'm even going to prayer. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Number two, something that we want to eliminate if it's in our life. Now, I'm not saying that everybody here tonight, we're going to, I have nine. I don't know that I'll finish, but we'll go as far as we can. I'm not saying everybody here has all nine of these problems. I'm saying these are some things that we need to look at and say, okay, is this something in my life that is preventing me from having an availing prayer life, an effective prayer life? Number two is a bad temper or a bad spirit. bad temper or a bad spirit. I don't believe that we can interpret this any other way than Jesus speaks it very clearly here as part of the Sermon on the Mount. Go through the steps here. And we could think about it in sense of 2019, if you will. We come to this altar maybe, or we have an altar at our home, and yet there's something in our life that needs to be corrected. Maybe it's with someone else, or maybe it's not. Maybe we're just our spirit at sometimes that about what God has allowed in our life, our spirit is weak, or it's been not damaged, but it's just a bad spirit. We just need to say, Lord, I don't want this to prevent me. I heard somebody say this one time. It doesn't matter how loud you pray, how much you cry when you pray. If you've got sin in your life, your prayers aren't even going to get past the ceiling. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we want to have a powerful prayer life, do we not? We want to have a prayer life that brings results. Not for our good, but for the others. Number three, just one page over in your Bible, Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Continuing on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The word forgive, I think we all know what it means to forgive someone, but the word forgive means to pass over an offense. Pass over an offense. To forgive not only means that I get past it, it means that I go on beyond it. You know, and this could go back to the home life. This could go back to church life. Mark 11:25, similar passage. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses." What we're looking at tonight is we're saying that we want to remove everything out of our life that is possibly hindering our prayer life. Possibly the biggest problem with my prayer life, well, no, not possibly. Probably the biggest problem with my prayer life is not someone else. It's me. There's something standing in the way. There's something lingering in the way. And so number three is an unforgiving heart. An unforgiving heart. Forgiveness is where we no longer hold the person who offended me in debt to me for the offense. You catch that? Forgiveness is where I no longer hold the person who offended me in debt to me for the offense. In other words, release that. You've heard it said before that many times the unforgiving spirit about an offense can many times be greater than the offense. It can build up to where it's even worse than the offense. And again, everyone in this room, if we had time and we're willing to write it on paper or communicate it, we can all tonight come up with numerous things that people have done to us in our life. And I could give you a few. But at the end of the day, I don't want that list. And by the way, the fact that I could tell you that I could give you a few means I still think about some of them. Which I just kind of admitted something there to you, if you were listening. I shouldn't be thinking about them that much to where it gets to that point. I want to get beyond it. So, an unforgiving spirit. All right, let's look at a fourth one. One more chapter over, Matthew 7. Still that great sermon. Isn't there so much from Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Boy, just take time every once in a while to reread those three chapters. Talk about preaching. There it is. Look at verse number 9. Number 9, Matthew 7, verse number 9. I was talking to someone about this on the way to church tonight. Verse 9, Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread? If his son ask bread, will he go and give him, I'm adding words, will he give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things, emphasizing the word things, to them that ask? Number four, I believe this is another hindrance in having an effective prayer life, is a lack of organization. Follow me. The Bible says, Jesus said, what man of you asks bread? Specific. It's a specific need. He could have chosen any other thing, so that's not the point. The point is that he chose something specific, that a son comes and says, Dad, can I have some bread? He could have chosen a lot of other words, so we're not focusing on that. No, God doesn't say that the father would then give him something like a rock. No, God gives him specifically the bread. If a son were to ask for the second thing, and again, I don't look at this as being the items that Jesus mentioned as much as it is that they were specific things that were given and asked of the Father. And Jesus says, if you are going to meet the need as a sinner, if you're going to meet the need of your child, or even some friend who says, you know, can you help me with this specific thing? You're not going to give them the opposite of that. You know, if I go to Brother Kim and I say, Brother Kim, I need some batteries. I don't need batteries, but I just couldn't think of anything else, you know. I need some D batteries, you know, those monster big D batteries. You know what? He's not going to go to Walmart and buy me AAA batteries. Because I don't need AAA batteries. I need D batteries. And so if I were to ask him for D batteries as a friend, and if he had the money, I think he would go buy me D batteries. This is what this is saying here. That this son asks the father specifically, I need bread. And what does the father give him? Bread. And as Christians, you know, dear God, can you bless my family? Can we break that down a little bit? Don't you think we should break that down a little bit? Bless my family. What does that mean? Do we want God to bless our family? Yes or no? Yes, but I got some specific things that are labeled blessing my family. So I want to be a little more organized, you know. God bless my husband today as he goes to work. I hope every wife is praying for her husband as he goes to work. I hope you are. But I hope you're praying beyond just bless him. That's kind of our big word in prayer. Bless, 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 bless. Bless, 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 bless. What does that mean? I think maybe our prayer life ought to be more like conversation. When I have a conversation with one of you, I don't say bless, 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 bless all the time. I use different words. Right? I know it's not the same as praying. The point is this. God wants us to communicate with him specifically. You've heard the saying, aim at nothing and you're sure to hit it every time. You know what? How's your prayer life? In other words, if I were to come to you and say, how's your prayer life? Tell me about your answers to prayer. We should be able to immediately start naming them. Why? Because we're praying organized in an organized fashion. We're not just praying, God, bless the missionaries. We're not just praying, God, bless our marriage. We're specifically praying within our marriage for different things. God, bless our home. No, we're specifically praying within our home. A lack of organization will be revealed when I cannot come up with a specific answer to prayer. I submit to you tonight, it is imperative that I be and we be specific. In our prayer. I believe that is a hindrance to our prayer. Having a prayer list, that's why we have one for the church. It helps keep us a little bit organized. So a lack of organization. Again, I think we need to encourage our kids to pray. Why did Jesus say, give us this day our daily bread? That model prayer? I believe that's something we should be praying about. Every day, God, would you please supply food for us today? But we have food in the cupboard. Are you depending on the food in the cupboard or God? God, I pray that you would supply food for our family today. Specific, organized in our prayer. Let's look at another one. Back to Matthew 6. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door. Got to find a quiet place. I think another hindrance to prayer many times is the improper time and place. Improper time and place. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. There's a commercial on Kerry Radio. Maybe you've heard it. It's what this is about. And this guy's trying to pray. And he starts to pray, and then he's interrupted by, you know, his boss or something about a project. And he's praying for his family, and he's interrupted by his kids. How many of you ever heard that little commercial on Kerry Radio? Any of you? Okay. Not too many. It's there, believe me. Because I remember hearing it and thinking, you know what? That's many times, that's our prayer life. Some of it was, he was thinking different things, by the way. Look what it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by their infirmities. And what did he do? He withdrew himself into the wilderness and did what? Prayed. He withdrew himself in the wilderness and prayed. This is Jesus, God's Son. We know that, right? I wrote this down, distractions. You will have every kind of distraction when it's time to pray. We have to do our best to make sure that our prayer time is guarded. Guard your prayer time. Find your place of prayer. Find your closet, if you will. It's amazing how, again, I'm speaking, I'm sure many of you could relate, but it's amazing how when nothing is happening, how quiet it is or whatever, and the minute we start to do anything spiritual, especially prayer, it just seems like so many things can begin to happen. Even in our own head. Because the enemy doesn't want us to have an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Improper time and place. Can I ask you this? When is your prayer time? I believe every Christian should have a prayer time. Do you have a prayer place? Guard it. Let's look at one more. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. We would all agree tonight that if there's any area of the Christian life that needs improvement in our life, it is this part. So just really some practical things tonight that I hope you'll meditate on and think about with regards to your prayer life. Here's a big one, though. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. What is the law? What's a bigger way of the law? God's word. Yeah. Turning away from God's word, what happens? Even his prayer shall be abomination. So, number six, hindrance is indifference to the word of God. An indifference to the word of God. One other verse about this thought, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. And indifference to the word of God. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. And I don't believe that simply means just audibly hearing it. Hearing it leads to obeying it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it's for sure that if I'm not right with this book, my prayer life is not going to be what it's supposed to be. So, we'll pick this up, God willing, next week. Let me just review. The verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. James 5:16. Of a righteous man. Number one, a contentious home life. Number two, bad temper or a bad spirit. Number three, an unforgiving heart. Number four, a lack of organization. Number five, an improper time and place. Number six, an indifference to the word of God. There's no one in here tonight that would say, I don't want an effective prayer life. Everyone here would say, I want an effective prayer life. To have an effective prayer life, I need to be a righteous man. I need to be right with my Heavenly Father.